So it happened. The internet went crazy about something. Nerds everywhere demanded to see the Snyder Cut. Actors chime in, release the Snyder Cut. And then rumors started circulating just a couple days ago that perhaps it would actually end up happening and be announced today. And then today happened. Actually, the way this specifically played out, Griffin and I were doing an interview. It was a pretty cool little interview with the director of Extraction. And we get off. As soon as we get off, Griffin checks Twitter and he goes, dude, Snyder Cut, it's happening. It's happening. Like, all right, let's go live and just talk about it right now. But so yeah. In case you're one of the 10 people that don't know what this is about, Zack Snyder was originally hired to direct Justice League. And then they filmed it, went heavily into the editing process. And then there was tragedy with him. Supposedly WB was unhappy with the movie they were making. So Joss Whedon was brought in to write a bunch of rewrites for it. And then Zack Snyder officially stepped out, stopped working on the film. Joss Whedon stepped in and he created the film that the best he could do with the mandates that were given to him. One of those being that the movie had to be under 2 hours long. And so yeah. I think like the movie that we got is kind of a bizarre. It's interesting because it's such a studio project. It's not good.
Sean, just call it what it is. It's not good.
I don't like
and
it.
Now we're going to get a better movie because it's by the guy who originally started this Elseworld DCEU universe. Zaddy's getting his trilogy, man. Zaddy's getting his trilogy.
So movie comes out and it's just so blatant that like how much interference there was. You can just look at the old trailers. There's so many shots in the trailers that weren't in the film that was released. And Zack Snyder's feet and even the look of it, it's different. They color corrected the whole thing. There's all these shots where clearly Ben Affleck looks like he's gained 20 pounds and like had like work done or something. So his skin is just so different looking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so immediately people are like, what is this thing? Like supposedly Zack Snyder shot this epic film. And then we got a movie that's not epic. It's under 2 hours and it has all this new footage that's blatantly Joss Whedon. So the Zack Snyder movement began. And here we are over 2 years later, after years and years and years of rumors, it's officially been announced. And to kind of actually give you guys the rundown of what we know is that it's coming to HBO Max in 2021. They don't know exactly how this will play out, but, looks like they're thinking it'll either be a 4-hour director's cut or like 6 TV style chapters, but it's going to be long. They have Zack Snyder is back together with the crew he'd been working with to work on the score that he wanted. So I think I'm guessing that means Danny Elfman is out, which yeah. I'm a huge thumbs up on that. They're recutting it, finishing visual effects. And then in the article, the speculation is that the budget is in the $20 million to $30 million range. So it's when we heard rumors that they were actually on our podcast, we've speculated, why don't you just drop it? We're all in quarantine. Drop it. Just do it. Go for it. Don't overthink it. People will watch it. Drop whatever you have and you'll get people to sign up for HBO Max. But that's not what they're doing. They are finishing the movie. $30 million for a movie that you already have spent $300 million on. They are legitimately finishing his movie, which is remarkable that's actually happening. Like all the speculation, even when they did the Richard Donner cut, they gave him like $2 million to cut the thing together, whatever. I mean, it was like this itty bitty budget. $30 million on it, like. That's 10% of the already insane $300 million budget. Griffin, what are your quick thoughts on this?
I think we all knew that it was bound to happen. Just the amount of noise that was made, the things that Zack Snyder was posting over on Vero, which should just be renamed the Zack Snyder fan club social media platform, because that's literally all it is. And just like, the stuff that happened last year when the anniversary of Justice League came around and like all the actors, all the cast of the film were just like tweeting out, release the Snyder Cut. It was going to happen. I don't think any of us expected it to happen literally next year, a fully finished movie next year, which leads me to believe that he's got a lot done. There's some stuff that needs to get work, and so it's like it's mainly going to be pickup shoots, like reshoots, pickup shots, and VFX, and just post production work in general. Yeah, basically, he's going to finish up his movie, which is probably in post-production, Army of the Dead for Netflix. He's going to finish working on that, and he's going to immediately move into this Snyder Cut. And immediately, maybe this is a little controversial, but immediately, this makes HBO Max a far more interesting platform than Disney Plus or Apple TV Plus or any of the other, like, you know, new streaming platforms coming out. Because this shows me that Warner Brothers is willing to accept their faults, say, "Hey, we yes. screwed up. We support an artist's vision, and we're gonna put it on this platform. So you'll have to sign up for it, but you'll see this artist's vision fulfilled." You will never in a million years see Disney do something like that. And immediately I'm just like, okay, HBO Max has just become the must-have streaming platform. Other than Netflix, like they just in one decision like this, and you really, and I'm sure I know we've talked about this ad nauseum, but it's just like I love the fact that a studio is willing to rethink some of their yes. you know earlier decisions, rethink that, and like look, the DCEU is going forward, they're doing Elseworld stories, they're doing self-contained movies and whatnot, so doing something like this, so going back and doing a Snyder Cut of Justice League does not necessarily affect their future plans. But what it could do is, it could just like open the door for like possibilities. You know, if this is well received and people generally like this version better, which I think immediately they will just because it is Zack Snyder's film, will it open the door for like stuff from this version of Justice League to connect to other stuff? Like who knows? But just with what all the information that we have right now, this is fantastic. I'm just so thrilled that HBO and Warner Media have decided to work with Zack Snyder on this. If you read that article from The Hollywood Reporter, Snyder's known about this literally since last year.
Yeah, like, yeah, next November day, on a Monday.
Yeah, the day after the Justice League anniversary, the chairman over at Warner Brothers called Snyder and was like, "Hey, you know, this Snyder Cut movement is pretty big. Maybe we drop this on HBO Max." So listen, like everyone who made noise, I think you got to credit them, but then you also got to credit Zack Snyder for really, fighting for his vision.
Right.
You know?
And doing things that could very easily burn bridges. I imagine if you with Disney, if you did the game he's played this whole time of like, you like this picture from my version? You like this picture? Did you see this one? With Disney, man, they burn you to the ground.
You'd be done. Yeah.
But WB, what they've always been true to is being a little bit more that auteur take on things. And let's bring in interesting directors.
Absolutely.
We'll give them enough rope to hang themselves. We're not as concerned with brand continuity, whether, with Disney, they want everything to be a big blockbuster for the whole family. They want everything to kind of fit nicely into the Disney bundle. They're all big sci-fi fun adventures with humor. WB's like, all right, we're going to have two different Jokers. And one of them's a Scorsese film with the Joker. And one of them is he's got a grill and his damage tattooed on his face. And they're willing within a short period of time to put out a competing version of the same film. And there's almost no win for the WB in a certain sense with this gamble, because why didn't you just let Snyder finish? Why didn't you like all these, like it only makes them look bad. And in that, it's only that make it loops kind of back around where, like you said before, they are willing to make the fool to provide a product that people are interested in. And so I think all of that is so commendable on their part that they're willing to do this in a way that you're not going to see the Lord and Miller cut of Solo. You're not going to see Gareth Edwards' original version of Rogue One. Like we're not even going to see those scenes any. Like it's just gone. And WB. Yeah. This because we talked about, we always thought that we were going to get this in some fashion because they did release the Donner cut. They had precedent for being willing to take these types of shots. But we also said like, man, it'll be a while. It'll be like let the DCU kind of calm down or move well beyond this. This is so soon. And
Yeah.
And they're investing money in it. They're putting money into it.
Well, here's the thing, and I was having this conversation, I think, with our friend Zach Pope, or maybe it was Tyler the other day, but we were talking about the fact that it's like they have nothing that has me interested in it other than their extensive film catalog and, like, Friends. Like, the HBO Max does not have, like, that you know, that new thing that's like, I gotta sign up for HBO Max right now. Disney Plus had The Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. You know, Apple TV Plus had all of these just random shows with big stars, with driven by, like, you know, famous directors. I mean, you know, obviously Netflix has been around for so long, but, like, HBO Max, which is really, like, trying to do something different and make a big splash, they didn't have that. They now have that. And so, like, while yes, they're launching this year and this is like, you know, a year away, I think it bodes well for the future of the platform. They're here to compete. And I think they're going to compete beautifully. I think they're, like, outside of Netflix, they're probably going to be the go-to streaming platform.
Now, of course, the follow-up question, will it be better, and why do you think it will be better or worse?
So here's the thing.
How much better, I guess, is the other question.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, it just comes down to the fact that, like, I think at this point, no one really cares whether it's better or not. It's just like, I mean, I'll get to that in a bit in a second, but, like, I would rather see an artist go for their complete vision and fail rather than a Frankenstein mess of a film. So it's like, even if the Snyder Cut isn't good, I guarantee you it'll at least be better than the Justice League that we got, because it is a singular vision, because it ties into the previous two movies. I mean, we look and see what the director's cut did to BVS. I genuinely think that the BVS Ultimate Edition is a truly great superhero epic. It's way more interesting and thought-provoking than a lot of the other, you know, films that have come out. So, yeah, there's obviously that, you know, will it be good? I'm leaning more towards yes, because I think he probably had to sell Warner Brothers on the fact that, listen, guys, this is just going to be, by and large, a much better product than what we, you know, originally had.
And I think they must
have
a certain...
How good is the question?
Right.
And how much better is the question?
I think they must have some level of awareness of, like, man, everybody's saying our studio interference is the problem here. Like, some whatever these executives were that were the one that mandating 2-hour run times, mandating more humor. Anybody that thought that, like, swapping Zack Snyder for Joss Whedon is a fit that made sense, they have to have some self-awareness of, like, we just really were thinking the wrong way. And the people that were always going to be the audience for Justice League, the people that were always be interested in it, they want to see his vision for this. They don't want kind of his stuff, and then Joss Whedon makes a joke about sitting on the lasso of truth. You know, like, that's like, a really funny joke. I do, like, of the things he added, I do enjoy that one sequence. But for the most part, his stuff just doesn't really mix well with Zack Snyder. They're clearly two competing visions for what you do with the characters, plus the studio with their own things that they're messing with things. So, like, I don't even blame Joss Whedon. I don't blame Zack Snyder for the mess we got. I blame WB executives. And when we see this version of Zack Snyder, that one's going to be all on his shoulders. We compare
exactly.
Entirely.
So it's like,
but it's a true vision.
If it fails and it's, right. It'll be a true vision. But, like, if it fails and it's not good, which I think it'll at least be better than what we got. You're right. It is all on him. Now, the flip side to that is that the cast have seen the movie and, like, it's basically unanimous. It's far better than what we got. So, like, I mean, granted, they're biased because they're involved with it. They have an emotional attachment to that project. But I think I'm more inclined to believe that. Listen, he's got 4 hours to tell the story. It better be the most epic superhero film I've ever seen in my entire life. Let's put it that way.
I mean, that's what's so interesting when it's like, that's twice the runtime, like legitimately twice the runtime. And that's also to say that 40% of over 50% of the movie that was released was Joss Whedon footage, then they would have to credit Joss Whedon as the director, according to the director's book.
So, well, then, I mean, he like, could, he's Well, I was just gonna say, he said that like a quarter, like you've only seen like a quarter of the footage that he used, or that right. he shot yeah. in the movie. So it's like it really is not his film, to be honest, which is why this whole thing has kind of become a giant movement.
Right. And it's this odd thing of like, okay, he did direct over 51% of what's in the movie that was released, but that was less than half the footage that he shot for it. And so it's just crazy to think. I don't care if this movie is abysmal. I love that it's going to exist. Oh, I yeah, love for sure. when we get to see actually competing visions for the same story. I love the existence of the Richard Donner cut, where legitimately two different directors completed a version of the movie using an enormous amount of footage shot by each different person. I love when we get to see that. And the fact that it's going to be so wildly different with so much more stuff thrown into it, that right. is so cool to me. And that's the stuff that Warner Brothers, whether they give us a great movie or just a great novelty, they're giving movie fans a gift in this.
Yeah.
That's my perspective on it.
No, I completely agree with you. I wonder what this will mean for like the future of like artists, like of directors' cuts, truthfully.
Mm-hmm.
You know, will studios be more inclined to just let a filmmaker have their vision realized? I mean, obviously, yes, when you're working with a studio, compromise has to happen. But if it is largely that filmmaker's vision, like, will they be more inclined to do that? Or will they say, hey, let's do it this way, release it this way, but then like I'm assuming most studios are going to have some form of a streaming platform in the near future. So are they going to be like, yeah, well, we'll release your director's cut on streaming as like a bonus and also to get people to sign up for it? You know, mm-hmm. is this going to be a new precedent?
Right.
I have no idea. You know, people are, I only saw a few comments in here, but like some people are like, all right, now let David Ayer do his cut. And it's like, okay, let's pump the brakes on there a little bit. That is still David Ayer's film. Yep. He's owned up to it. But like, you know, could they give him like money to go right. make another, you know, make his version of Suicide Squad, not under a time restraint? I mean, who knows? I'd be interested to see, but I don't think in terms of Ayer, I don't think that'll happen because they have James Gunn coming in and just completely redoing everything. And it's already shaping up to be better, in my opinion. So
look at some of the comments in the comment section. Pratham, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing your name right, said, if this version was released now during the pandemic, it would have broken all records in streaming. It probably gonna anyways. Right, exactly. I mean, I think that's, we discussed that on our podcast of like, if they just released this now, there's so much demand and not new movies, so people would watch it like crazy. I think there just is so much novelty to the existence of this. It's gonna just destroy. It's going to do amazing. Everyone's going to check it out because it is Justice League. So yeah. It is a massive commodity with an enormous group of people that whether you're a lover of Zack Snyder or a hater, there's so much novelty that people are interested in this no matter what. And even more so, the studio's yeah. giving him money to finish it. They're not just like throwing out some crap. That's what I thought that maybe they were going to do, is that because all these rumors were circulating that they were going to make this announcement today, I assumed they wanted to get some early numbers for HBO Max. And so yeah. they were just going to dump an unfinished Zack Snyder cut as a gimmick.
I think
gimmick,
what a lot of people thought. Yeah, yeah.
As a gimmick to get people to sign up because, hey, we've got something that Zack Snyder put together in his bedroom. So let's put that out there and give them what they want. That's not what they did. They yeah. went, we're going to give him $30 million. And according to the article, they decided this before we were all in lockdown. So this has been in the works for a little bit. We need $30 million to finish his version. So that is really cool. And I think even more so, that's going to make people go, man, I just want to see, like, did he actually do it right? It's a Zack Snyder film, so it's going to be as divisive as any of his stuff. Like, it's not going to be.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's Disney movies, like, with the way Rotten Tomatoes works, they're designed for the broadest appeal, and that's why they all have really high Rotten Tomato scores. It's not saying that, like, a 90% for all these MCU movies doesn't mean that they're the best movie of the year. It means that they're very yeah. widely enjoyable, though. Zack Snyder, he has a very distinct style. It's not for everybody. It's like spicy food. He's spicy yeah. food. Some people are like, I just don't like spicy food. This is not for me. And other people love it. And that's once again why the movie we got just felt so bland in that they tried to sanitize Zack Snyder while putting this other stuff. So it didn't feel like anything in particular. So I think Zack Snyder fans are going to love it a lot more, but it'll have its distinct flavor to it. So
sure. I think there's something interesting to point out that I've seen some people saying, like a lot of people are like, you know, I'm really not necessarily in the chat, but just online. The consensus has been really interested in seeing this, regardless of if it's good or bad. It's great to have an artist's vision fully realized. But like, if I was Matt Reeves and I was debuting a new Batman movie in 2021, I might not be happy about this. And I kind of get it. I kind of get it that, like, by and large, they've been trying to move away from this, like, Snyder Elseworld stuff. And don't get me wrong, like, I'm still excited for, you know, this Snyder Cut of Justice League, and I'm excited for Matt Reeves' Batman. But, like, it is kind of like one of those things where it's like they're going back to the well one final time. And in the same year that Reeves is releasing a new Batman, it's like, okay, well, what if this Snyder Cut makes everyone like fall back in love with Ben Affleck's Batman again?
So right.
It's a little interesting.
And likewise, because of, you know, the simple fact that you listen to the interviews that Ben Affleck gave on the press tour for The Way Back. They, of course, kept asking about the Batman, and he stated, man, I loved working on Batman v Superman. And he had all these fond memories. He's like, I took the suit home for my kid's birthday and all this cool stuff. And then he's like, Justice League, that wasn't so much fun. So Noah B Vlog says, what do you think the $30 million is going for? Well, if you look at kind of the article, one of the things they say in there is the original post-production crew is to score, cut, and finish visual effects. So short answer is that, I mean, they're legitimately finishing a movie with visual effects, with a different score, a different cut.
Yeah.
I mean, you just watch the original trailers for the movie. The end of the movie is all like dark blue, color graded. And then you see the movie that was released, and it's all orange and red because it color graded. Like, everything about it needs to be redone. So the $30 million, it's the same thing as any post-production. It's as if instead of the $30 million, $50 million going towards Joss Whedon finishing the movie that they started doing beginning of 2017, they're giving $30 million for six more months of work from Zack Snyder. That's what it is. And I mean, they kind of mentioned in the article maybe some people coming back to do voice work and stuff like that. So, but I mean, like, they are legit finishing a movie, post-productioning a movie that was already shot. So that's what it's going towards.
Yeah. I saw another funny thing is I'm kind of like scrolling Twitter, like while we're chatting, just looking for other interesting things. Someone, I just found an interesting tweet that was like, genuinely amazing how Chris Terrio has escaped all of this. I don't know how you go from writing BVS, the theatrical edition, to a version of Justice League deemed unwatchable, to then working on The Rise of Skywalker, and we somehow only blame the filmmakers.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the ones that even look at each one of these movies, they're all known for studio interference, big studio projects with all this other stuff involved with it, that you just wonder how much of it it's not even you start to realize just how little control sometimes the writer has. And they're doing a job. They're a hired person. Someone comes in and says, I want you to do this. It's like someone chimed in and Oscar says, what's wrong with Joss Whedon, or what went wrong with Joss Whedon on this one? Joss Whedon's great. Joss Whedon said, he came in and did a job.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to understand that these are people that are trying to pay their mortgage. They're trying to buy a new yacht or whatever, depending on the person at the point in time. And so then they come to you and they say, Zack Snyder's about to be out. We need someone to finish this movie. Like, he's got personal stuff. We've got issues with the direction things are headed. We need someone to take over. Joss, we just hired you to do Batgirl. Can you do this instead? And he goes, I'm not a good fit. Yeah, but here's $10 million.
Yeah.
Okay, where's the paperwork? Let's do this. And so you have to think through it. Like, he took a job, and then it is known that it was mandated the movie had to be under 2 hours. The runtime on it, like, I watched the final battles just a little bit ago. The runtime is 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 59 seconds. Like, legitimately.
It's so short.
It's so short for all these characters, this big epic plot line. And so I don't think that – I don't know who could have made a good movie in the situation that Joss Whedon was in. That's why I don't blame
him. Honestly, yeah.
And it's really difficult to say, like, Joss Whedon screwed this up. He tried to make it one of his movies. No, he was hired. He was hired to do that. And that's on the studio executives for thinking that was a good idea. That's actually one of the things I've been thinking about. And a timeline of this doesn't add up, but you even think that like now James Gunn is in their camp, that if the timeline had been a little bit different, like what if they'd gotten James Gunn? James Gunn, also known for doing ensembles, but known for working with Zack Snyder. He's known for having his kind of more cynical, like all the what ifs of if certain things with him had happened just a little bit sooner. I think that that would have been a better version than Joss Whedon, a much better fit. Not as good as Zack Snyder actually making his own movie, but
yeah, could have been interesting. No, that is a really good point. I didn't even think of because of that pre-existing working relationship, and they're a little bit more similar in tone. I mean, still very different, but a little bit more aligned and whatnot. I do want to bring something up. Let's take a look at DC's 2021 movie slate right now.
Yes, okay? Yes,
it is. It's packed, and every single one, I think, is something to really get excited for. So as of right now, The Suicide Squad comes out August 6th, 2021. The Batman comes out October 1st, 2021. Black Adam comes out December 22nd, 2021. And Zack Snyder's Justice League is getting an HBO Max release with a date to be determined. Where do you think... I mean, I'm going to assume the Snyder Cut comes out earlier in the year, the way you give it some distance from the other properties. But, like, man, what a slate.
Yeah. And different and interesting, all of them in their own ways. Each one of them in its own way has its interesting production history. Because you think, like, The Suicide Squad, the first one, not well received, but people like the characters. And then even the way by which James Gunn is in there is this whole backstory about him getting fired from Marvel for 6 months. Obviously, the Batman has this long history, and it was supposed to be Ben Affleck, and it was swapped out. And Black Adam, they announced this movie with The Rock.
Yeah.
Six years ago. And so they're all movies that they're different. They're all exciting in their own way. And they're all interesting ones to check out whenever it finally does happen.
Yeah, for sure. What are people saying in the chat? Is everyone going bananas? There's so many people in here.
Yeah, there's a ton of people in there. A lot of people, all kinds of opinions. Let me see if we got a couple more things to bring up, and we'll close out in just a few more minutes.
Sure.
Okay, here's one. Macho Nacho, do you guys think the Snyder Cut would have done good at the box office if they released it in theaters? So to be clear, first off, it's going to HBO Max, so they're not. It's not a theatrical deal. Not that that's what the question implied, but it's not a theatrical deal. It is for HBO Max. It's intended as one of these hooks that makes you go, oh, man, I've got to see that. So it's not coming to the Blu-ray. It is for the streaming service for the purpose of getting people to sign up for the streaming service. Someone asked at some point in time, do you think that'll work? They're going to get a bazillion people to sign up to do this. They might only last a month, and then they unsubscribe, but they're going to get a bazillion people for that month.
They'll get their money back.
And that's the whole idea of – that's the appeal of streaming services, that it's easy to come and go when something good happens. That's not a bad thing. That's the model itself. That's what I've been doing with HBO. I signed back up for – I hadn't had it for about a year since whenever Westworld Season 2 ended. Signed back up for Watchmen, and I've kept it through this season of Westworld. But to the specific question, do I think it would have done well in the box office if they did a re-release with it? I mean, I don't think it would get 100 million opening, but it would open over 30 million. I would think that would probably be pretty safe to say. But then they'd have to spend a bunch of money to market it. It's where it's tricky to say, like, would it be worth the money? I think it would get over a $30 million opening just because it is Justice League. There's so much name brand buzz surrounding it. Every one of us type people would give it free publicity talking about on our deals.
Right.
So, I mean, they don't even need to spend that much money. So, it's not going to move the needle so much that the movie is making hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars more. It's not going to do that.
You also got to look at the fact that it's like a 4-hour piece of like content. That's not the kind of movie that does gangbusters at the theater. So you can sell people on, oh, look, this is the real Justice League that should have come out. But the fact of the matter was, is that like the majority, like this is great for all of us fans. It's amazing. Yeah. The majority of the movie going public did not take to Zack Snyder's vision for the DCEU. Again, because that's just the kind of filmmaker he is. Yeah. You either love him or you don't. There's very few people who are in the middle. And so, like, you know, just even going back to when Justice League was released, was coming out and the marketing was ramping up, is like, I can't remember talking to anyone who was even remotely excited for it, because they just didn't care. They've been burnt too many times. You know, Wonder Woman was great, but it didn't get people in the theaters to go see Justice League.
Right.
So it's like, quality of the movie aside, there is just, from the general movie going audience, there is no interest. Now, this story of a filmmaker having their mm-hmm. vision taken away from them and now getting the chance to have his vision realized, that's more interesting and may draw more people to watch it. But they're not going to go to the theaters to see this. They're going to watch it on in the comfort of their own home, on a streaming platform. And that, like, this piece of content legitimately could only be possible on a streaming platform.
Yeah. Bacon Dude says, are you going to review the Snyder Cut? Yeah, I will be all over the Snyder Cut. I don't even know how, like, yeah, I mean, I might do more stuff than I would normally do for a new release, because it's such an interesting thing happening. Like, so yeah. I absolutely I will be all over it with a review, spoilers, who knows what else. But yeah, I mean, I will be discussing it extensively for all of the obvious reasons, as well as it's just so interesting. I'll look for one or two more kind of final questions. If you want to look in the chat, see if you can find a couple closeout questions on this one. But we'll be finishing up real soon.
I've seen this kind of like put in here a lot. A lot of people are saying, oh, is Green Lantern going to be in the Snyder Cut? Yeah, I remember like he kind of teased Green Lantern. I don't know if he will be in the film. Again, like, I'm not so in tune with like all the things that were supposed to be in this movie that weren't. I know like Darkseid was going to be in the movie. I know Martian Manhunter was going to be in the movie. I know it was going to be incredibly epic and just like everything, like a comic book nerd's dream, basically. But, you know, in terms of Green Lantern, I don't know if he specifically is going to be in the film, or if he's in the film, I don't think he'll play a huge part.
I would have guessed Lantern Corps more so than like, look, that's Hal Jordan. I would expect it to be more the general idea. Twisted said, how much of the movie do you think will be reshoots? I would guess that like, they might do some pickup shots, but he already shot a lot. Then he has all this other stuff that was reshot already. So, and then they mentioned some people coming back to do some stuff. So I would guess there'd only be a little bit of just, like, literally pickups to like fill in gaps.
Here's the other thing. So, just, you know, going back through the timeline, he originally went to Warner Brothers with this grand, massive scale, epic version of Vision of Justice League, and Warner Brothers was like, okay, we kind of want to keep it on the shorter end, maybe take out a lot of that stuff. And so like that original vision that he pitched to Warner Brothers was 4 hours long. Then he had to cut it down a little bit and he came up with something that was 2 hours and 20 minutes. Then a tragedy happened, then he couldn't finish the movie, and then Warner Brothers got their hands in there and made the movie that they thought was the best option. So what we are getting is not the 2-hour and 20-minute version that he compromised on. We are getting his full 4-hour like original plan for Justice League. That's even more like mind-blowing than like I would have settled for the 2-hour and 20 cut, because at least there's like somewhat of a compromise there, and like that's the film that probably would have gone theatrical. The 4-hour original vision, are you kidding me? That's, I mean, there's some balls over on Warner Brothers for doing something like that, for sure.
Reaction Life 21. Would you rather see 6 episodes or 4-hour movie? If you're jumping into the live stream a little bit later on this one, what this is referring to is that the actual announcement is they're not sure if they're going to do this as a 4-hour movie or 6 episodes. I my default is to say movie, because that's what it was shot, written to be. Television broken up into episodes is written to be divided up that way. And so they would need a pretty good reason for me to want them to head in that direction. Would you agree?
Yeah, no, I mean, give me the 4 hour long movie. If Lord of the Rings can do like 4 or 5 hour long extended editions of their films, I think we can get like, listen, don't compromise on the film. Don't like split it up into installments to milk it out. Just give us the full 4 hour, you know, long movie and let it be that, because I feel like it would just be weird kind of like sectioning it out. I mean, it might be more palatable to a general audience, but yeah, I don't know. It'd just be weird.
At the same time, the fact that this thing is coming into existence, whatever they think is best, once they look at what they have and what they're doing, I am on board for it. We had a super chat coming from Mr. Stephen Wolf. Thank you so much. That is greatly appreciated. If the Justice League Snyder Cut does well, do you think you can get a true version of movies that we never got in theaters, like rumor of the JJ cut of Rise of Skywalker? There's two answers to this. There's the general answer. Absolutely. From studios like Warner Brothers. I think that certain studios, if this does well, you'll see a lot of more of these movements too. This empowers the audience. If positive and negative, certain online trolls just were told, when you're obnoxious, things happen. And in this case, I think we're benefiting from that. Though some of those Snyder Cut people are very toxic, but
yeah,
this just empowered them to do more. In studios, if it does well, they'll get the lesson. There's demand, and listen to the audience, and let's find what's the next thing we can do this with. To the specific one you said, will we ever see the JJ cut of Rise of Skywalker? No, I don't think we'll see any significantly different version of Rise of Skywalker, because it's Disney, and there's a big difference between the studios of how they do things.
Yeah, I also don't think there is a JJ cut of Rise of Skywalker.
There wasn't time.
That is his movie. I mean, like, everything you saw in there, that was the decision of JJ Abrams and Chris Terrio. Now, if you're talking about, oh, I want to see a Colin Trevorrow duel of the fates, that's a different story. Granted, they didn't shoot anything, so I don't think they're going to spend all the money to make a full-blown theatrical, like, version of this script that Lucasfilm wasn't interested in. But, like, that makes sense, like advocating for a Trevorrow cut of the movie. We saw JJ's movie. Like, that's, I mean, maybe there would have been a few things here or there, but like, we saw it.
I mean, I think there's rumors of like 20, 30 minutes more footage. I've listened to or read the audiobook. There's more stuff in there, but it's the same thing. It's not it fills in some gaps. It answers some of these questions that, you know, obviously we all read the articles on Twitter, saw the headlines. It's just a little answer some questions, but it's not radically different. But Disney is not a studio that does things like that. And specifically with that movie, it's not with Justice League. They had this big ramp up time working on it. I mean, they had a trailer out 1 year and 3 months before the movie came out. So that's why there is like there's dramatically different cuts, because they spent so much time working on the film, which is also one of the reasons why it's just so heartbreaking how kind of dull the movie we got was. Whereas Rise of Skywalker, their frame, they're so small, and they just, everything was microwaved real quick. Music says, we weren't toxic. Just because you weren't toxic doesn't mean that there weren't toxic people. There's a very toxic version of DC fans. Like, a friend of mine, Rachel, has had death threats. Like, we had to legitimately all of us band together to try and like support her, because she didn't like a DCU movie enough. There's a toxic wing of the DC batch. There's a toxic group of the release Snyder Cut people. I'm not saying you are. I've been saying all along, I'd love to see this thing. So you can call me a release the Scott Snyder Cut person in that version. But there are toxic people. There's toxic people in every movement. I think for
in
some
every
reason.
Fandom. In Star Wars, in Marvel, I mean, you know, it's just that, like, because of this whole Snyder Cut movement and whatnot, it's like during that initial wave when the film first came out, there were a lot of just like toxic people who would send horrible messages and threats to journalists and whatever. And so there's a reason why the movement started out with a negative connotation. Now, I think it's evolved past that to the point where it's mostly positive, and they've done stuff for charity and suicide prevention. Mm-hmm, and it's ultimately a good thing now, but that's not saying that there aren't toxic people out there who, you know, are for that, or that it didn't start out a little, you know, questionable.
Yeah. And to say, like, I mean, with the size of my channel, like I get a pretty good idea of the different fandoms and their tone, because I do these rankings. Rankings are inherently a step on people's toes. And so I've seen the toxic Marvel fans. I've seen the Star Wars fans. You can't make them happy. I get a little bit sick when I have to post a Star Wars video, even though I love Star Wars, because I know people are going to come after me. But with that said, there's something in the DC fan base that's pretty intense. There's an intensity to them. And that's good. Snyder Cut is happening because they're intense. They also, a guy sent death threats to one of my friends. So all fandoms have a toxic side to them. So I'm not saying that they're uniquely toxic, but there's some stuff in there.
Yeah.
So you guys are asking me questions about Black Widow. I'm just not going to talk about that in this live stream, because it's obviously not what this live stream is about. Yeah, and I've talked about Black Widow extensively. I have a ton of videos on it. I'm trying to see if there's a final question. So I think we'll close out on the hypothetical one. Some people asking kind of versions of this. What if people love it and they love Batman in it? What does that do to the DCEU if it turns out, man, we just need to have Zack Snyder finish his vision? I'll just say I don't see that really happening. I think that the people that are kind of like me and you, that we really dug Batman v Superman Ultimate Edition, we'll have a similar experience here. We're like, oh man, that was a big improvement. Zack Snyder's singular vision. But it's not going to be broad appeal the way that Marvel movies are. That's where people are like, oh, Disney's paying off all these people to give Marvel movies better reviews than Zack Snyder films. No, they're movies designed for very broad appeal. And that's what Disney is good at, broad appeal. I can tell you, I have not received my Disney paycheck yet. They haven't. I guess it got lost in the mail. I haven't gotten it. But I'm still giving a lot of these movies positive reviews because they're just very easy to consume films. Zack Snyder, he just has a distinct style to it. And so I don't see them it unifying people behind it the way that, you know, people unified around Avengers movies and stuff like this. I don't see that happening really at all.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. But it is an interesting thing to bring up, because it's like, if this is beloved and like people want to see more of this universe, it's like, what do they do going forward? I mean, do they just make again, going back to the Matt Reeves thing, it's like you're releasing a Batman movie starting off a new trilogy in 2021. Now this comes out, it's like, if people love it and they want to see more of it, do you keep doing this? I mean, I think you're also going to be hard pressed to get Ben Affleck to make more movies. So it's like, I don't even think it's possible, but yeah, I mean, it's a fair question to ask for sure. I don't know. I'm ultimately, when it's all said and done, I'm going to look at this as just like a great little Elseworld trilogy, like the Snyder trilogy inside of the DCEU, starting with Man of Steel, going to BVS, now to Zack Snyder's Justice League. I think that's the best way to look at it. He'll have his three movies that complete a story. I think from there, they just go on and they can do something different.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I see things. And WB, they've been playing this game. They announced Joker very soon after Suicide Squad, and it was not going to be Jared Leto's Joker. So they've been doing this competing versions, and they seem to be okay with that tension of like, yeah, we just want to tell different stories. And sometimes we're like, I have a tight universe, and sometimes we're doing crazy stuff. That's just the game that they've always played. So I guess maybe here's a fun one to close out on. Oh, not that one. This one. Saul John, do you think this could be the most dramatic change between a theatrical cut and director's cut ever? Inherently, I don't know what could be bigger. Other than the Richard Donner cut, I think that this, by its nature, there's, and compared to the Richard Donner cut, this is, if it is 4 hours long, if it is six episodes long, inherently it's the most different. Because they just left out so much of what he had done. So I think that is the answer. Griffin, where can we find you on the internet?
Yeah, you guys can head on over to the Film Speak channel for more, you know, live streams, podcast episodes like this, and movie reviews. And then also you can follow me on Twitter at Griff Schiller.
And thank you guys so much for tuning in for this live stream, or if you're watching it on the rebroadcast, be sure to tell us down below in the comments what you thought about it. It looks like I missed a couple of super chats. I do apologize for that. They didn't show up in a list that I was looking at, unfortunately, so I didn't catch them. But everybody, keep talking movies too much.